Welcome to episode 3 of season 19 of the Growing Empire Show. We've got a great show for you today. Our special guest is Yosef Lee. Yosef is a highly regarded attorney in New York City and is balancing his demanding career with real estate investing. And he's using that to secure not only his own financial freedom and build generational wealth, but as a potential exit plan for his future endeavors. Joining me, as well as my co-host and good friend, Robert Musso. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Growing Empires, hosted by real estate entrepreneur and trusted investment advisor, Jennifer DeJesus. Growing Empires provides insight to building wealth through passive income-producing real estate investments for those who want to build and manage a more profitable real estate portfolio.
Welcome to the Growing Empires podcast, where it's our mission to help investors create wealth through real estate and secure their financial freedom. We have an amazing show planned today. And before we get started in introducing our special guest, I'd like to let you get to meet Robert Musso, my co-host. He's an amazing friend and colleague, and I've asked him to join me today to help me co-host this episode. So, Robert, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It is great to be a part of your podcast, Jennifer, on season 19. I'm so excited to co-host with you this season, and we have so many wonderful guests. I just wanted to let everyone know a little bit about my background. I've been investing in real estate for a little over 20 years. I transitioned from a W-2 job in the hotel and hospitality space, eventually becoming a full-time real estate investor about 11 years ago. So from hotel industry to full-time real estate investor, I invest in single-family, multifamily, as well as industrial flex space in several different states, such as North and South Carolina, Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey. And I live by a mantra that's pretty simple. Real estate is the bridge to living your best life. And that could be anything for each and every one of you, but real estate is the bridge. For me, as most people know, I love to cook. I love to create recipes. I love my family. I love to travel and I love to invest. And I'm so excited to share that with you throughout the season.
Awesome. Well, without further ado, let me introduce our special guest, Yosef Lee. So Yosef is an incredible attorney, father, small business owner, real estate entrepreneur, and there's probably 10 more things that I don't even know about Yosef. So Yosef, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Chen and Robert, for having me today. I'm very excited to be with you guys.
Awesome. Why don't you give us a little bit more about a little bit more color on your background and, you know, what you're doing and kind of how you got into real estate and a little bit about your journey thus far.
Sure. So I am a South Korean immigrant, lawyer, as you said, multifamily investor. I own small business as well and father of two daughters. Just somebody who's aspiring to take back the control of my lifestyle, my time, freedom, and options from the conventional, the jobs, right? W-2, which still I am a part of. Let's see, the way I started real estate. So it was back then, around 2019, I was working really hard, being proud of being an attorney, you know, just working my way up in the corporate ladder. And at one point I started having a moment of reflection of my life and was questioning, is being an attorney, although it's very rewarding, is that something that I wanted to do for the rest of my life? And considering everything around me, I thought to myself, okay, it's a great, it's rewarding profession, but it gives me so little room for designing my own lifestyle, right? So I was questioning, like, what options are there? And that's around when I stumbled upon the book, Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad and Poor Dad. And throughout reading the book, it was an enlightening moment that I realized, you know what, I got to transform myself from being a W-2 or self-employed, in a say, into a business owner or investor. So I started looking out to check what options out there, and I did a little bit of reads and stocks, whatnot, but nothing really thrilled me until I stumbled upon the book, the website, which I'm called thebiggerpockets.com. And that's where I learned about multifamily real estate investing. And from that point on, it just made so much sense to me as much, the more I study about multifamily, the more I understood how it worked. And I said, this is it. I got to go double down on this. And that's when the journey started about, self-education and following the gurus and whatnot.
Awesome. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit more about how you're balancing that legal career with your family, with entrepreneurship. We're going to talk about how real estate shaped, your future and your role. And we're going to talk a little bit more about those recent business acquisitions. Definitely excited to get into that. So let's get started. My first question for you is, Yosef, being an attorney is obviously very, very demanding alone. And that does not include being a father, having other businesses, being involved in real estate. So how are you managing all of those things in a day?
Mm-hmm. I would say, first of all, I consider having a intentional approach is the most important thing when you're trying to manage multi tasks, right? I've always believed in the power of time blocking, prioritization, and working up a to-do list, being consistent and checking every day, daily, weekly, and monthly to-do lists, right? So I'll say just by doing and implementing all this into a system, and I was able to at least make sure that I have focus on important tasks out of all day, and yet at the same time, I don't spread myself too thin. So that way, there are things that I wanted to make sure that I get done, and there are things that I could push to the next day. Then I was able to be more flexible in managing those tasks. And at the same time, one thing I want to emphasize is not to get stressed out about not being able to finish up everything a day, because I'm sure you guys as well, I have a lot of things on my plate each day. And I know some of the things are more important than not the others. So every morning I try to pick three things that are most important that day. And then I make sure that I get those three things done. And if I have more time left, then I get to the fourth and fifth ones. But at the same time, even if I don't get to the fourth one, I could just sleep well, because I know the fourth one can be pushed to the next day and I don't get stressed about that. And when I pick those three things, I want to make sure that whatever I do, I try to get the most important things out of the ones that will affect other people's workforce. So in other words, if something is affecting someone else's job, like they're waiting for my decision, then I try to get that done first. But if it's not that, then I could push it to the later at night so that I could just work on, until midnight or 1 o'clock, whatever, doesn't really matter. Then I'll push towards the end. Also, I utilize time blocking for my family matters. So I have two daughters, and they usually during the weekends, they want to do certain activities with me, and sometimes during the weekdays. And I want to make sure for a certain amount of hours a week, I want to dedicate that to my daughters. Then I will time block those hours and treat it as if there's no compromise for that. That way, I want to make sure later, because time goes really fast, after looking back a week or month, oh yeah, at least I was able to get that done with them. So I will feel better. And so these are how I manage my busy daily tasks.
Well, Yosef, I know you have a lot on your plate, and I might be a little biased because you're a dear friend, and our relationship has grown quite extensively over the last 4 or 5 years. So I really have learned a lot about the X-ray of your life. So, and some people can handle it, and I know you're doing a great job. So what piece of advice would you give for the average person out there for a work-life balance to achieve and pursue not just their professional goals, but the personal and professional goals? What is the secret sauce to that work-life balance?
I'll say it's about the foundation is about knowing yourself. Like a lot of times people don't know what they truly believe in, what they truly want in their life, what they truly pursue. So if you haven't really done it before, sit down, bring a piece of paper, start writing down. Okay, what do I really want to achieve in my life for the next 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? What is it there that I consider to be like, okay, this is truly the values throughout all my lifespan that I will pursue for the rest of my life? Like, you got to be able to find those things and anchor that at the end of your life, right? So it's like your goalpost. And then you will set the goals in front of you between yourself, no matter what stage you're at, and that the last stage of your life with that values, right? And then you would get that straight line, which will be the fastest way to get there. It will be the straight line, right? You don't want to go around it. But I mean, you know, we make mistakes. So we would have definitely time and troublesome times to find those values and find that goalpost. But I think the earlier, the better. You got to do that exercise and trying to just keep pushing towards that values and be intentional as to setting up the goals. To me, the goals is like a stepping stone towards your vision, the values, the mission, right? So setting up the right goals based on the right values are, I think, the most important thing that you should do first to be able to manage your tasks. Because once you have that, and it's like having the glasses on your eyes and to be able to see the more clearly the things that you must pursue as opposed to the ones that you need to get rid of or give up about.
Would you say that you learned those skills from your legal career? Or do you think that those are skills that you've learned over the years? Are you reading to learn that stuff? How did you figure out how to even balance and what that looked like and how to prioritize one thing over another?
I think from everywhere. I consider every person I meet to be my teacher, whether it's good or bad. If it's good, then I'll try to learn that trait. If it's bad, then I try to talk to myself that make sure that I don't do that, right? And reading a book is also one way. Meeting people and getting to know them is another way. Also, you know, being a part of community like church or the community in your local area, it gives you a lot of life experience that you cannot really get just from your job, right? And definitely, yeah, from my job, I learned other skill sets as well. Being an attorney, being trained as an attorney and litigator gave me the sense of having the sense of urgency, being able to meet the deadline, because court due dates are like drop dead ball deadline. You can't mess that up, right? And, sure. And, you know, like managing the paralegals and workflows gave me like the traits of like a project manager type of traits. So I learned all of that. And being able to hang out with like person like Robert and Eugene, who are inspiring me from like bottom of my heart, I respect. These are the people that I want to surround myself with, right? But it's unavoidable that you meet people or you grow up with your maybe relatives, cousins who are not there yet, but still you learn, right? Oh, I shouldn't be acting like him or her. That's also another teacher to me throughout my life. But you become more of you as you add up more experiences onto you and learning from your past, not sitting on your failures, but learning and getting up and move on. These are all shaping myself.
That's great. And I agree with a lot of what you just said, Yosef, and I also believe in the law of attraction. I tend to, as I get older in life, I tend to repel from negative people and people that I do not want to be around. And I tend to feel a magnetic connection to people who share my same visions from personal and professional thoughts. And you are obviously one of those people that I truly, truly love being with personally and professionally. So with that being said, you know, you're a very, very good father. You're very close to your family. How does your family motivate you and inspire to keep pushing forward? Because it's not true for a lot of people. Sometimes families are not in support of what you're doing. And that could be very negative. So what's your situation as far as that's concerned?
Well, that's like my foundation, right? Well, if it's just about me, then I would definitely spend a lot more to please myself, things on the liabilities, wasting. But the reason why I even push myself to think about investing, being an investor, owning other business, trying to become a better person, is to become a good role model for my kids and my family, be the foundation, be the fortress, so that I could, so that they're protected, right? And they will learn, especially kids, they learn from the first people they see is their parents, and then they will learn from their parents as to, you know, how they should interact with others. Having a good father figure, I believe, would also affect their relationship with their future husbands as well and the people they meet. And I, every single time I speak to them, every single time I discuss with things with them, I learn also, but I also believe that, wow, okay, it's very important to have a good relationship with our kids, not just for myself, but for their future as well. So going back to your question, to me, it's like literally rock foundation. It's a cornerstone of what I do.
Awesome, Youssef. So I'd like to journey into the topic a little bit more focused on your real estate investing side of what you're doing every day. And, you know, I know that you've invested significantly in real estate, but like everybody, you were just starting out. You were just getting involved. So what advice would you give somebody considering their first investment to actually make it happen?
First investment. Again, I think everything should start from decoding the limiting beliefs, right? Like, my limiting beliefs were, okay, I don't have $1 million to start with. Since I was investing out of state, like, how can I trust people from out of state that I never met? What if something happens? I cannot go there. Like, then who's going to take care of that? Right. So all these limiting beliefs are what prevented me from taking an action. Right. I'm sure that's same for everyone else. So first you need to break that limiting beliefs, but how, right? To me, how I broke that limiting beliefs was through just three things. Education, right? So you don't know what you don't know until you literally dig in and try to learn something. So go through the education process so that you can deal with how to start with to invest in real estate. A lot of times you can't take actions because you don't know what you're dealing with. So I think education is really important about knowing the jargons of the real estate, the terms, understanding how the loan process works, underwriting works, how to learn how to talk to the brokers in the right way, and things like that. You just get to just educate yourself. And then you need to know and meet people, right? Networking is the next thing that you should do. And knowing, like, meeting a lot of people, not just for the sake of meeting a lot of people, but to meet someone like Jan and Robert, who's experienced, who's been there ahead of you, then ask questions. I was so amazed by the fact that a lot of people are really open to share their experience and tips for free. And I'm like, wow, these people are really go-giver. And that's a great source and firsthand knowledge that you cannot get from the books, right? So education and meeting people for real life experience. And then third, you need to take actions. When I say taking actions, what do I mean? You know, just go through a plan out, and you got to go through the execution, the decision-making process. You can't just learn how to talk to the brokers. You got to pick up the phone and literally call the brokers. and talk to them. You might get hung up on, right? But that's a part of the learning process, right? I've been there, done that. And at one point, you know, they get to listen to you, and then you realize, this is how you say it, how you learn. And, you know, you got to apply what you learn through the literally underwriting the deals and meeting the potential partners and following up, calling the lenders, reaching out to, other people and ask questions. Again, these are all holistically got to come together to go to the next stage. So there's no being developed like this way. Like, you're going to grow like staircase, right? There looks like there's nothing happening. You're just calling and calling, talking to brokers, meeting people, educating yourself, meeting potential partners. It looks like nothing is happening, but boom, at one point, like, you realize you go up to the next level. And then same thing happens, that level, nothing looks like happening, but boom, you go up to the next level. So being consistent in taking these actions, educating, networking people, in a cycle, like, keep doing it, and consistency is the key to be able to get that into that first deal, because the opportunity comes from those people that you meet, and they see you, and they want to make sure that you're ready at that moment through, he's educated, he's meeting people, he takes an action, he's the right one. Then you're going to get that opportunity to be in the first deal.
So Yosef, you're obviously like a very successful attorney, and people who are listening to you, you know, and who are not in real estate might say, well, he's a very successful attorney. He's got a busy life. He's got family. He's got kids. Why real estate? Like, what is real estate going to provide you and your family in the future? As far as plans and goals, can you maybe elaborate on that so people really understand the power of real estate?
Sure. Again, like I said, being an attorney is a very rewarding profession, right? But the reason why I said there's really a little room to design my own lifestyle is I said that because by nature of the job, you're constantly trading your time for money. But time is the only commodity that everyone is born with. From the very beginning, you have that's when you had the most of the commodity. As you live, you're continuously spending. There's no getting more. You can't get more time. You're always spending. That's the only commodity that's impossible to have more, right? So the only thing that we could do since we're born is we just say we got to save time. We got to be efficient. But I thought about this. Do we really save time? No, right? Time runs no matter what. You can't save time. Time runs no matter what. You need to, it's just for me, so it's just a reallocation of that time to different things. But I got to make sure the things that I'm allocating the time from place A1 to B, is I got to make sure the B is where I get more value out of, right? So, going back to the analogy, the being an attorney, very good, rewarding, but I always constantly spending time, a lot of hours being spent. So I couldn't really reallocate the time because I'm just trapped in doing the job myself. But the real estate or any other investment vehicles, because multifamily real estate is one tool out of many investing vehicles. But the reason why I picked real estate as the vehicle is because it offers the opportunity to generate passive income through syndication, being a limited partners. And that's where the magic happens. Like, again, there's no 100% truly passive incomes. You gotta do something, but it could go as passive as possible. So at one point, you're leveraging the asset class to generate income. That way, you can allocate your time that's so-called saved to a different tasks or matters that you value the most, which is, for me, I could go to Six Flags with my daughter on Saturday if I want to, using that passive income. You know, obviously, I can spend it for some other matters that I value the most. But the point is, making... And then obviously we all know we need money to do activities and realize the values that we value, right? And the passive income is what makes it happen or realize it, help me to realize it without putting more time than necessary. I don't know if that's a good explanation, but I'm just trying to explain what's in my head. But because of that, I chose real estate.
Awesome.
The episode will continue in just a moment.
As an investor, we know it's important to stay on top of market trends and real estate opportunities that add value to your portfolio. We also know that having a trusted source of reliable information to help you stay a step ahead of other investors is critical to your success. If you're interested in having these types of resources, as well as access to me and my team, I invite you to join the Empire Investment Club, a free service that gives you an easier way to make sense of today's and tomorrow's real estate opportunities. As a member of the Empire Investment Club, you'll get access to relevant resources and investment-focused experiences such as live interactive webinars, market trend presentations, and investor socials designed to equip you with what you need to succeed. So whether you're an active investor, passive investor, a combination of both, or just starting out, the club is where you'll get what you need to build a portfolio you love. To join, just head over to jenniferdejesus.com, sign up, and we'll see you in the club, where everyone's on a journey to becoming a better investor. So do you use other people to help you in your real estate? Like, in other words, do you have additional employees, virtual assistants? Are you doing anything like that that helps you also dedicate time to the real estate side of your day?
Yes, I have a team of people who are amazing. First of all, they in each part of real estate investing, we all share the roles. Right. So that I don't have to do it myself, everything. So I have a team of people. I have a VA who helps me with other some mundane tasks. So that's why I said real estate, because I don't do it myself. I do it with team because it's multifamily. That gives me more time because I don't have to do it myself, everything. And my team, there's a person who does underwriting, who does capital raising, who does asset management, talking to the property management companies. So we all share the roles. And by doing so, we could leverage the system. And by leveraging the system, we could be more efficient.
What are some of the areas that you, as far as locations geographically, that you are targeting right now so that our audience understands, and why are you targeting these particular areas?
For now, my teams are targeting the Kansas City, Missouri, Kansas, Ohio, that areas, because those states are, to me, first of all, landlord pro states, unlike New York, right? Unlike New York and New Jersey. And those areas are now being found by a lot of investors, because it's like, to me, it's like 15, 20 years ago, Texas. And it's not as hot as Texas yet, but still, it's a great market. It's growing. A lot of population shifting has been happening into those cities. So those are the states that we're currently focusing on. And that's how I started having my first boots on the ground partner happened to be from Kansas. So I was more so pulled into the market as opposed to I found the market, but I soon realized this is a great market. Every number makes sense. Population growth and job growth and safe to live, and all those metrics were met.
You mentioned something really, really critical, and I think we would be remiss if we didn't dig a little deeper into it. You've referred multiple times already about the team, the team, the team. So would you say that having the ability to have a team around you, whether it be in multifamily or any asset class, would you say that that was a dramatic or pivotal point of you being able to scale your real estate investments or your holdings?
Absolutely. I think especially for multifamily investing, having a partnership is a key. And without leveraging the team, if you're, especially if you're a starter, as a newbie starter, you would not be able to get into any multifamily at all. I guarantee. No one's gonna, without that, without leveraging the team's credibility as a starter, no one's gonna treat you as somebody who's who can close, somebody who can manage the asset, somebody who could successfully exit the asset. So it's more than just critical to have a team and getting along with partnerships who are good, who could add the values into a team as a whole. You cannot miss. To make it a little easier to understand, for example, for in a multifamily syndication team, you have a couple of roles that are critical, where you get to have an underwriter, you got to have a capital raiser, you got to have a net worth individual who has a high net worth, you got to have somebody who has a experience, who can oversee the entire process, you know, who can source the deal, things like that. So unless you have this a pool of teams, like how, even if you find the deals, right? When you talk to the bank, you can't, you got to at least be asked these two questions. Oh, who, well, we love to lend you the, we'd love to lend you on this, on this building. Tell me who in your team has, who has an experience who could manage this deal? Who in your team has, or who in your team has a net worth that could cover this loan amount, right? So these are the essential questions you got to answer. And being a starter, being a newbie, you can't really answer these questions affirmatively without having a team or without leveraging someone who's already been there in the game. So going back to your question, without a team, was I able to do this? I don't think so. I can guarantee.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that that's one of the things or misconceptions that I think people think is that, you know, if you're a real estate investor, you're buying the asset yourself, you own it yourself, and then you've got to figure out how to manage it yourself and do all of those things. And I think that that might be sometimes the reason why people never get off the fence is because they don't realize that there is this other side to real estate that is partnerships and groups of people. It's not just a person. I mean, sure, you can go buy your own real estate assets and, you know, all of us here on this podcast own our own investments, right? Exclusively. But we also have all witnessed the power of, you know, people, the power of multiplication, right? And when you can bring in multiple people into a deal, the power or the size of that deal can scale exponentially. And you don't have to do all of those things yourself. So I think that is, you know, I appreciate your time in explaining that, because I think that is such a critical thing, is that people just think, you know, kind of like in this pigeonhole where it's just, it's only me and it's my money. And, you know, there's many ways to get involved in real estate without spending any of your own money, but you have to have, it's the power of the team. It's the power of the network, the power of the mastermind, and being able to be exposed to groups and networks that do it together. So that's really, really awesome. I'd like to jump in a little bit and talk more about your recent business acquisition. So tell me what you have done recently and what made you go into the side of business ownership in addition to all of the things that you're already doing.
Okay, so in 2023, well, in 2022, we did a lot of closings for multifamily. That 2022 alone, I went into seven to nine syndications and three JVs or four JV deals in 2020 alone. But towards the end of 2022, everybody was talking about in our mastermind, you know, 2020, especially my mentor, Marco, he's like, oh, 2023 will be very slow. 2022 was great, but 2024, maybe even 2025 will be very slow in real estate because it's down market. So I kind of expected the 2023 to be slow in real estate. So I kind of knew, and I was looking to pivot a little with the money that I had at the time, because I was just sitting on some cash. And that's around when I also started following some people on the internet. They talk about small business acquisitions, and it was quite interesting. You know, okay, I never, I mean, we own small business one in our neighborhood. We have a Pilates studio that my family owns. But me, myself, was like never like thought about just owning any small businesses. But as listening to a small business, how it's being acquired, how it's being run, I just thought it could be a great cash flowing asset as well, as opposed to the real estate where the cash flow is kind of, you know, it's consistent and stable, but on the lower end. But the business, even if you, well, I mean, you wouldn't own that property necessarily, but still the business itself, the cash flow is a lot higher than real estate investing. So as like a tester, I was looking into acquiring some small businesses. And then I was talking to my friend from my church who was working for a cafe bakery. And she was actually wanted to discuss with me as to the list of potential partners that she wants to do business with, because she was trying to acquire this cafe. And then she was like, asked me, oh, what do you think? What do you think about this person? This person, because you're business savvy, your attorney, tell me. And then I don't know why, but I told her, you know, I'm also interested in acquiring small businesses. And, you know, I also want to do some more so coffee related business. And then she went on like, oh, really? You want to look into this deal together with me? So I said, yeah, sure, of course. So we looked into the deal together. She was the person who used to work for that cafe, so she knew kind of ins and outs of how to run that cafe. So, you know, we kind of clicked, right? Obviously, as a W-2 and doing other stuff, I wouldn't be able to go and actually run the cafe. But having this full-time operator there as a partner, you know, I thought it would be possible. So that's how our needs met. She needed more guidances in business and legal, and then some capital. I needed somebody who can run the cafe for me. So our needs met. And yeah, that's how we started looking at that deal together. Number sounded right. And I believed in her and believed in the business. That business has been there for over 30 years. I know the cafe because that's a cafe that I bought a first drinks for my wife before we got married on that street. So I knew about the cafe already.
Yosef, I forget where is the cafe located again? And actually, maybe tell us a little bit about some of the products that you sell in there, in the cafe.
Oh yeah. So it's on the Union Street. It's in Flushing, New York, on Union Street and 38th Avenue, and around the corner in front of the police station, 109 precinct.
Must sell a lot of
Yeah. and we have you know, all different kinds of coffees. You know, Americano, latte, bubble tea during the summer. You know, teas, hot teas, and then all different kinds of bakeries. You know, that you could think about cakes, Korean goodies, and yep. So if you're around, whoever the attendee is.
So this is an awesome spot for you to kind of meet with your clients and investors then, you know, for coffee, right? You could just always say, why don't you meet me at my cafe for coffee and we could talk real estate. That's such a cool, you know, situation to be in as well.
Right. I actually did that. So I met a couple of my clients and met a couple of my real estate partners there already, who's in local. And, you know, we had a coffee together, bakery together over the talk of real estate and business.
Nice.
That's awesome. So how do these new business ventures align with your vision for financial freedom and spending more time with your family? How do the new business ventures align with that?
So again, because this, I'm more of hands off. This is more of a limited partnership. Of my involvement is more a limited partnership. just like LPs in a real estate deals, which is truly passive income. I tell people how important it is to also invest as an LP as well. And why? Because only being an LP produces the true passive income, or as passive as possible, as opposed to what we do as an operator, right? We are all GPs in the deals, and we love to work, and we love to manage. But at the same time, that's active income, right? So if we're not as flexible, I mean, we're flexible because we're real estate investor too. You're not W-2. But it's not as flexible as being an LP, where you could just for a month, you could forget about it and just wait for the return, right? So this cafe is being like that to me because I'm not operating there. So it truly aligns with my notion of creating a sustainable income stream as a passive income generating asset.
Nice. And do you see yourself acquiring more similar businesses or expanding this, or is your main focus going to be real estate?
I think I still consider real estate to be my rock bottom out of all investments, because especially multifamily, although I want to learn other real estate sectors and types as well, but multifamily is being more of my rock bottom at this given moment. And it's because it's good asset class where I could do both, being a GP and LP. And I've been always investing as a LP as well, all my GP deals. It's like a small business, right? In and of itself. So sure. You can leverage the system. You can leverage the GP team as an LP. And it's a great, I still consider it's a great tool because there's also appreciation component as well. So yeah, that's going to be my rock bottom. And then as I make more monies, then I'll look into invest in a business as well for higher cash flow. But after having one business done, my thoughts were a little evolved. So if I'm going to acquire the business next time, it will be business and the property together, so that it will still be the property, real estate investing on top of the business.
Awesome. Well, we're going to wrap up with a really cool game, and we're just going to call this a game, kind of a game, I guess, you know. We're going to do a lightning round. Okay. So that's where Robert and I are going to quick fire some questions at you. And we want you to give your shortest, quickest, off the cuff response to these questions. Are you ready?
Ooh, okay.
You ready?
Yes. Yes.
You look nervous. Now, as an attorney, I would not expect you to be nervous on this, but you look nervous. Aren't you on the spot all the time?
Yes. This is more an excitement than nervous. Let's go.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so what's one piece of advice that you give somebody balancing family and a demanding career? One piece of advice.
Be intentional as to what you truly want in what you do. Know it.
What's a book or resource that's been instrumental in your journey as an entrepreneur and father?
Richard that important. and Bible.
There are no wrong answers, and those are two good ones. Good.
Yeah, awesome. What's the most valuable lesson you think you've learned so far from your real estate investing career?
It's about teamwork, not me game.
Great.
Would you change anything about your career path if you could?
So far, no. I'm very satisfied about what I've been coming along with. So I would not probably change at all. I would probably do the same thing.
What's one daily habit that you use to stay on track every day?
Picking that three most important tasks that I need to finish that day.
All right, little fun question here. I mean, you had an incredible Korean dinner in Fort Lee, New Jersey. So you have to exclude Korean food being Korean. But what is your favorite food category outside of Korean food?
Italian. Italian. Not because to please Robert here.
I was just going to say, I think you're kissing up. because we know Robert loves Italian food.
Everybody loves Italian food, right?
That is true. Yeah. That is definitely on my list. Yeah,
you can't go wrong with that. I had a friend who also a long time ago told me like he wants to give a Nobel Prize for the one who invented like pizza and pasta.
That's mine would be pasta for sure. So what's the most important trait for somebody looking to manage multiple businesses successfully?
Being good at communication and people. Like it's a relationship. It's not work, and tasks are work, but it's those who are running the tasks are people. So you got to be able to good to people.
Summarize work-life balance in one sentence.
To me, there's no balance of work and life. Work is about part of my life, but life is part of my work. It's harmony.
Okay. What's a fun activity that you do with your kids to stay connected despite your busy schedule?
Karaoke. I go to karaoke with them as many as possible since they were 5 or 6 years old.
Oh, that's still awesome.
Go. Last time we went was a month ago. Yeah.
That's cool.
That's cool. Really cool. Well, Yosef, thank you so much for sharing your journey and your insights on balancing work, family, and business. How do our listeners get in touch with you if they'd like to learn more about your real estate endeavors?
I try to become very active on social media, and my social media handle is all the same throughout all platforms. Very easy to remember, Yosef, your brosef. So that's Y-O-S-E-F, Y-O-U-R-B-R-O-S-E-F. And look for me, DM me, I'm open book. Let's get on a Zoom call and network.
That's awesome. Again, thanks for joining us today. Thank you for being our special guest. And Robert, thank you for being my amazing co-host.
It's always a pleasure. It's good to have you, Yosef. Look forward to seeing you soon. We'll go for Italian. How about that?
Awesome. Can't go wrong.
Make sure you invite me. I want the Korean food too. I want all of it.
Well, then we're going to have to do two dinners, Jen. You're right.
We'll do it.
Yes.
So. Thank you, Zen and Robert, for having me.
That's awesome. Well, that's a wrap. And until next time, take care.
For more information about how Jennifer can help you plan, develop, and manage a strong real estate investment portfolio, visit growingempires.com.